Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to love-crushed Velvet singer ALX. He's here to talk about and play a few songs in support of the band's new EP, Delusions. Stick around. Who doesn't love crushed velvet, anyway?
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you by Amazon.com, Audible.com, and 1-800-DIAL-DJs. Please stop by the website, MrMedia.com, click on our advertisers, support the show. And remember, there's more than 1,000 interviews available at MrMedia.com. We've been doing this since February 2007. Hope you'll find something you like. And thanks for listening.
Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of sneering New York musicians who think Billy Idol is just a random stranger Adam Sandler encountered at 30,000 feet up in The Wedding Singer in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Joining me today on Mr. Media to talk music and play a few songs is ALX, leader of an old-fashioned New York City-based rock band called Love Crushed Velvet. Now, when I heard Love Crushed Velvet for the first time, I heard Billy Idol and Steve Stevens. Now, that's a rare driving rock sound that there hasn't been enough of in recent years, and I'm eager to see if you hear what I hear. It sounds like a song, doesn't it? Do you hear what I hear? Never mind. Love Crushed Velvet has just released a new EP, Delusions, and we'll talk about that in a few moments, and ALX will play acoustic versions of two songs, Bye Bye Baby and Lover, Leave the Lights On. ALX, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thanks, Bob. Great to be talking to you.
Good to have you here. Alex, when you title an album Delusions, I mean, that's got to start a conversation. But why not just go simpler? You know, I don't know. It's not Paranoia If It's True, for example. That'd make a great album title, wouldn't it?
Well, we got that one for the next one if we need it.
Okay. where do you get the title Delusions? Does it actually relate to the songs, or is, you know, where does that come from?
It sort of does. I actually, we were going to call it Beautiful Delusions initially. That's one of the lines out of Lover, Leave the Lights On. But as we're looking for recurrent themes in the album, and it's, you know, a lot of the songs were written really just based on the concept of how skewed our perception of reality is sometimes. You know, the first song, Revolution Time, is just about kind of quitting everything you're doing, running off to overthrow your government, hoping that everything's going to be utopian, which of course it never is. You know, that's a delusion. Just all the different things that, you know, old lovers coming into your life years later and saying, hey, I'm so different, look at me. Yeah, that's kind of a delusion because, you know, people usually don't change it all that much. And that was kind of a theme that ran throughout all the songs in one way or the other. So it's it just seemed to make sense. The album titles at the end of the day have to be intuitive. If you think about it too much, then it's like anything creative. It feels forced. So Delusions just felt right, so we stuck with it.
So tell me about the songwriting, because in listening both to some of the songs on Delusions and also going through the website, looking at some of the videos for other songs, there definitely seems to be kind of a love song theme, but also there's some social conscious type stuff. It's not just, you know, baby, I love you, come sleep with me stuff, basically. That's what I'm trying to say. What are you after when you guys are writing songs?
You know, a lot of it's really just being open to whatever influences are out there at the time. And then a lot of it's a very unpremeditated process. You know, we're not the type of songwriters that sit down and say, well, let's write a song about this, let's write a song about that. Something will just pop in and we'll run with it. And when it works, and once we get to the recording process, if it ends up sounding good at the end of the day, then we go with it. So there's not, you know, we usually don't go into this with a real concrete theme in mind. And the process for the first two records, the first record versus this record, was a little bit different. With the first record, I'd been playing with those musicians at the time for about a year, year and a half, and it had developed a particular type of sound. So what am I writing? I really geared around that. With the second record, it was a little... it was a little different because we also had just a lot more to choose from. With the first record, I had written maybe 15 songs pretty quickly, and then we went to the studio, we threw them all, we just basically hit them, tried to capture as much spontaneity as we could. and whatever seemed most cohesive within the rubric I went with. With this one, it's I pretty much started writing for Delusions as soon as I finished recording our debut album. And on this one, we've got something like 25, 30 songs to choose from. Mm-hmm. And just time-wise, budget-wise, it didn't really make sense to go in and knock these all out. So we're a little bit more deliberate in our song choices in terms of what we ended up including. We tried to really push the envelope in terms of the range of the songs, like Revolution Time versus Bye Bye Baby versus 100 Days, which is the final cut on the album. Now, they're very different songs, even though I think there is a certain sonic cohesiveness between them all.
What kind of things did you learn after the first album in terms of what you thought would work maybe in the studio versus what worked playing for an audience, or what you know, were there songs that you were really big on for the first album, but you know, when it was all said and done, you had a little time to reflect, but you're like, you know, maybe I misjudged that, or maybe you were perfectly happy with everything. I don't know.
Yeah, the first one we actually took our time making it. That record probably, it didn't take that much time in the studio per se, but we probably took about a year making it because a lot of our travel schedules and other things just didn't necessarily sync up in a way that we could make it in, let's say, a 4 or 5 week period. But having said that, that process ended up, one of the things we really learned is how beneficial it is to take your time. So we'd have these intense periods of 4 or 5 days in which we just lock and then not. Once that was done, we would sit back and just not listen to this stuff for a few weeks. And then the benefit of all that, it allowed us to really keep fresh ears throughout the process. And we did the same thing with Delusions in that sense. I mean, the recording process was very different because with the first album, we just basically taught the songs to the band in the studio. And we did maybe 2, 3, 4 takes maximum. And then and it either worked or it didn't. And with Delusions, we really built them up from acoustic demos from the ground up. And so it's a much more the process of layering, 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 layering. But in each of those cases, what really benefited the music in the end was just making sure that we were really deliberate about taking the time to step back and say, hey, you know, this is working great. Let's stick with it. Let's build this. And this isn't so great. Maybe we need to rethink this part, or maybe we just need to just scrap it and try a totally new approach. And when you're... And that's very different than when you're in, when you're just in recording for weeks and weeks and weeks at a time, because your ears, there's a certain incestuous process that takes place in your ears in which you convince yourself that it's good because you've heard it so many times. And then it's not until the reviews come out or get people together to listen to it or just ultimately put it aside and then look at it, listen to it weeks later, that you realize that, you know, hell, this wasn't so great after all. So that's where, you know, it's really been helpful to make the records this way. And I think in going forward, that's really the way I'd ideally like to continue making all our future records. Hmm. Just going through a real intensive period of working hard at it and then just letting it sit for a while. And so at the end of the day, I think I'm pretty happy with both of the records. I mean, they're different because we're going for different things. Mm-hmm. Qualitatively, you know, the changes I would make were little changes, not major changes.
Well, because there'll be people who tuned into this interview who are hopefully looking to discover some new music, instead of just talking about the record, why don't we take advantage of the media here, and you're going to do 2 songs for us today. Why don't we go to the first one, which I think is Bye Bye Baby.
It is, yeah, and that's the current single that we'll be putting out as well.
And is there anything you want to tell folks about that before you...
No, it's just, you know, the idea behind the song is just kind of looking for clean endings more than anything else, you know. And for the most part, endings are usually messy. They're filled with miscommunications and assumptions and having plots running through your head, and this is just kind of a delusion about the idea of there being such a thing as a proper clean ending.
All right. Well, folks, this is ALX from Love Crush Velvet playing Bye Bye Baby.
Love, you've gone missing. Love, don't play kiss and tell with me. Love, you came in like a wave and then slips out of reach. Take back the distance. Stop making up for sympathy. Don't be upset, but I'm now obsessed with you. Come give me one more night. Let's keep it dignified. Bye bye, baby, baby, bye bye. Wish it was simple. You seem to forget you once were me. Lost in my answer to sweep you away. Goodbye commitment. Dreams you once had promised me. Stuck in another world that you don't dare to escape. No, you're not coming back. Not even listening. Bye bye, baby, baby, bye bye. Bye bye, baby, baby, bye bye. You said, love's gone to sleep tonight. Bye bye, baby, baby, bye bye. Why don't you?
Great, thank you. Now, I want to ask you two questions immediately after hearing that. One is, I mentioned Billy Idol at the top of the show, and I couldn't quite tell if that pleased or disturbed you. But I think it's in the phrasing and the way that you sing and you modulate different parts of the song. I just hear Billy Idol. Am I out of my mind?
No. I was a big fan of his when I was younger, along with a lot of the acts of that generation, both in the Gen X and also a lot of the post-punk kind of early to mid-80s music, when I was a very, very young teen listening to that stuff. But a lot of that sound really came from the first record. Billy's old drummer from the Rebel Yell era, Tommy Price, was Love Crush Velvet's initial drummer.
Really?
So, yeah, so a lot of the songs...
I swear, I didn't know that. I didn't read that far. I did not know that.
Yeah, so, a lot of... when I initially started, he was supporting me for on a solo album that I'd made before that called No Eyes for the Future, just the way that Tommy would approach those songs, which didn't have any kind of that Billy Eilish sound. Yeah, there was just this kind of real crisp, straight up style that he really brought to it. And then, as a songwriter, you're influenced by your rhythm section, so I started writing songs about that, and so. As we're listening to this, listening to the initial demos, it really did sound a lot like those early Billy Idol records. And we thought to ourselves, at first we tried to fight it, because if some of the songs really did sound so derivative. And we thought, let's do something different. But after a while, we stopped fighting it and just thinking, you know what? Nobody's made those kind of records in 30 years. So let's run with it. Because if you're 17 years old, you've never heard anything like that. For all of us who are like 35 and up,
exactly.
That's the association. But when you're 17, it's like, hey, this is cool. I've never heard anything like this. And And initially, when we went when we did our radio campaign for it, we didn't go for commercial radio. We didn't go for AAA radio. We went for college radio. And there, it's, you know, a number of stations that sat at number one for weeks on end, that album did. So so the strategy in that sense, in that respect, made a lot of sense. But when it came time to make Delusions, you know, we thought to ourselves, radio. It was fun. It was really fun making that kind of a record, too. You know, there's just... you know, we didn't try to fight the process, and we're really happy with how it turned out. But it's, you know, you can't make every record like that.
No, but it astonishes me to hear that you actually did have a connection there.
Oh yeah, for sure. It was great. I mean, it's really
There's just something in the way that he would sing a song, and you don't look anything like Billy. I mean, it's not that Billy's platinum blonde, and if you're sneering, that upper lip would be going up, and.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, God love him. But it's strange that there hasn't been anyone who's come along since him that has had some of that phrasing or that the modulation or that. It just, you know, and that's what kind of made him stand up. And immediately when I started listening to you, I started thinking, oh, my God, I hear Billy Idol. How cool is that? I liked it.
Really, and I love the Idol stuff. It's great. So it's, for us, it's, you know, it's not a bad kind of music to be compared to.
No. And, I mean, I know someone looking at this going, that's an old man. What's he talking about Billy Idol for? You know, when I was a rock critic in the 80s, that was Billy Idol's prime time, you know.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
So what are you going to do?
I love hearing, you know, when Tommy was playing with us, we love hearing some of the old stories of you know, the tours, and it was just a very different time musically. It's during that period, rock stars were really still rock stars in a way that, you know, now rock stars look like they work behind record counters. So
that's not so good.
It's a different era.
Well, so the other thing I wanted to ask is, as you're playing a song like that, and it's got great hooks, it's got melody, it's got a purpose, it's got a beginning and an ending, and you're singing it and you're going, I mean, you're thinking, you know, I'm really proud of that. What are you thinking while you're singing the song? Obviously, you know it well enough, you're not worried about remembering the next line. What's going through your head while you're playing a song like that?
You know, every time you play it, it's different, and a lot of it also depends on the format. We're doing a bunch of shows right now where, in the full band format, and there it's... you know, when you're playing live in that kind of setting, it's really more about finding a continuum of energy for the show versus something like this where lyrically I'll pay a lot more attention to it. I'll be more drawn to the content versus on the live level, it's really more about managing the energy of the band in that context and really weaving the lyrics in and out of that. But, you know, as a singer, it's very hard to force the vibe of a band. You end up really playing with a rhythm section and you end up influencing it subtly. But it's very different. It's a very different way of channeling the meaning of the song than just when the guitar and I did. So this doesn't lie.
That's true. It's very true. That's why I like this format so much. It's just, you know, we go places where we wouldn't otherwise go, and we see you playing in a comfortable atmosphere. It's nice. Now tell me about so Tommy Price is not with you now. Tell me about the rest of the band. Who is playing with you? Who plays what? And, you know, what do they contribute?
Yeah, well, it's really moved around quite a bit in the past few years with the lineup has. The most consistent members have really been myself as the songwriter and Massimo Majorana, who's our drummer, who's been a drummer for the past few years. And that's been, just like with Tommy and myself, there was a certain sound that the two of us had together that kind of took us in that idolish direction. With Max, it's a very different type of vibe. It's, you know, it's very... I mean, sometimes it's just he and I sit down together and jam and see what we come up with. And the sound that's evolving for that is almost like a very English sound in a lot of respects, even though he's Italian and I'm, you know, American / originally German. And so, and a lot of that I think is going to be reflected in the next record. But on guitar, you know, we've had a number of different players. We use different players in the studio versus the live format. We've got a new format right now that we're experimenting around with. So it's very, so Max and I have really been constants at the moment. And the other parts are just kind of weaving their way in and out.
Mm. All right.
And so once we started really touring more heavily, starting beginning of 2014, that the lineup is probably going to gel a little bit more.
Okay. And tell me about the decision. The first you put out a full album. This is an EP, an extended. You know, it's not a full album, but. Bands have, I think, more control these days over what they release. I mean, with the digital, just the era of digital distribution in particular, you could just release a series of singles if that's what fit you. You could do an album. You could do a double album. You chose to do an EP. Was that a financial decision? Was that a content decision? What drove that?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. I mean, to a degree, it was a financial decision, but at the same time, we felt that, and I'd been writing pretty intensively since we finished our first record, and so there wasn't a lack of content. If anything, there's a real sense of at one point, about a year and a half after we released the debut, it was time to put it music. And it's not as if we didn't have any. There's almost a sense of restlessness that we had, and in terms of just sitting on pretty strong grouping of songs. We felt, I mean, it wasn't that we just had, you know, six good songs. There were probably, of the 30 or so we had, I mean, you know, 20 of those were album worthy materials. No, they weren't all singles, but there were, you know, if you're involved as a songwriter long enough, you know, you evolve the craft to the point that not everything you write is going to be great, but, you know, most of it'll be, you know, pretty decent, and you'll get a few gems in there. So it felt like we had enough material that the very least going to the studio with. But at the same time, there was, you know, we tried so many different styles of songs. It almost felt like we had three EPs in that grouping of songs rather than one solid album. Because the one thing we didn't want to be is to be all over the place. I mean, there's a fair amount of range, I think, in Delusions as is. But if we started going with the punkier songs versus the, you know, the ones that kind of sounded like Zeppelin derivatives versus some of the ones that had a grunge feel to them, we experimented with some electronica-based material. And it was, you know, it's having a certain level of just sonic consistency there was really important. So we said, you know, let's pick six that show off some range, but that generally work together as a grouping of songs. And our producer, David Maurice, was also pretty instrumental in that. We basically said, hey, you know, which ones are feeling right to you? And, you know, we had our list, he had his list. And basically we ended up going with his list in terms of just trusting his judgment and really him push his vision for the songs. And you know, in a way that we were on board with, of course. So a lot of that material that we didn't use, that we chose not to take in the studio, it's going to make its way onto other records for sure, because there's some really, really strong stuff in there.
Okay.
And now since we finished Illusions, probably another 25 in those new songs. So it's really, it's almost like Sisyphus climbing the mountain. You know, you think you're gonna get all this old stuff under your belt and you can start writing new material. But the reality is, you know, you're always playing catch up on it. At least it's, you know, very songwriting-driven bands like us, you know, it's a nice problem, but it's an issue, because you always say, should we have done this one? Should we have done that one? It's tough. You can't have it all at the same time.
It is a good problem to have. So let's, as we're talking about songs, let's go ahead and skip ahead to the second song you're going to do, which is Lover, Leave the Lights On. And my guess is, and I'm going to show just how insightful I am since I made the Billy Idol connection out of thin air, I'm guessing that this is because you're afraid of the dark, and when you have a significant other in your life, you want them to leave the lights on at night because you won't be able to sleep. Is that really what this is about?
We guys are never afraid of the dark. No, actually, the song was about a conversation that I was just listening to between two women that were friends of mine, and I was kind of just, you know, the fly on the wall. And one of them was talking about her marriage and that she just couldn't stand being with her husband anymore. And so the other woman says to her, "Well, you know, how do you get through this?" And she says, "Well, I turn off the lights and I pretend it's somebody else." And I thought to myself, you know, when you hear that as a guy, first of all, thank God it wasn't about me.
Yeah, I'm thinking, right, yeah, exactly.
The first thing that went through my head was, this poor guy. Oh my God! Yeah, and he had no clue. But
he's still getting laid.
You never know; it just might be over and then done. You know, that's what the other half is feeling. You know, so right. It takes two.
Well, but you know, if she really hated him, she'd be gone, and he would be on his own. I'm thinking, well, you know, he probably knows it's nothing. There's nothing left there, but. At least he's, well, never mind. I probably shouldn't have said anything in the first place. I like the story.
Yeah. Yeah, so the song was kind of written from, kind of from his perspective, because that's the first thing that went into my head. This would be a great song from the guy's perspective. So he's, again, the delusion, you know.
Well, folks, this is ALX again. This is Lover, Leave the Lights On from Delusions.
I'm painting a picture that no one else can see. My crazy vision is running away from me. Beautiful delusions feel my mind's hypocrisy. We're standing together, making pain silently. Never leave the lights on. Won't you look at me? Stand smothered in isolation. It's breaking me. You feel like you've wasted. I were taller, still ain't tall enough for you. I were wiser, you might not be who I am. If I were richer, I'd buy you all your dreams. But of what I can change, I just can't change the fact that it's me. Never leave the lights on. Isolation, when you let me burn. This apparition leaves so much to learn about you. Never leave the lights on, it's in love.
More clapping with me, but you get the idea. It's funny. I was listening to that, and I was thinking I could actually hear that as like a kind of like a even like a Springsteen song. It's kind of a bits and pieces of that that kind of connected there. Didn't hear as much of Billy Idol in that one.
Yeah, it's funny because after writing the song, it almost when I started doing the demos, it almost had a bit of a Springsteen-ish feel to it, and we ended up really moving in just a very different direction, making it more bass-driven, and had to bring a lot of darkness into it, because it really did. It's got, I hear where you're coming from on that, because that was very much the original instinct of the tune, directionally.
Would you introduce that song on stage with the story that you told me about overhearing the two women? Because I think
it's a lot of acoustic sets with this stuff, especially when I'm traveling internationally, and I'm not always in a position to bring the band with me because sometimes I've got three or four dates booked and you can't fly a band transatlantically to do those kind of shows unless they're stadium shows.
Plus they drink so much, these guys. No, sorry. No, I don't know that for sure. It's implied they're musicians, but I don't know it for sure, folks.
It's clean living always.
Of course it is. Of course it is. And the other thing I was wondering while I was listening to the song again, I was thinking, when that actually happened or since then, do you kind of wish maybe you would follow the woman home so you could tell the husband what's going on and, you know, that he really needed to get out of that? That's bad.
You know, I try to stay as far away from that story as I can. It made a great song, and above and beyond that, I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I just kind of feel for the poor bastard now, you know.
And in fact, that's kind of what made me write the song. It seemed like, kind of a tough spot to be.
Yeah. Well, so as we kind of wind down, I'm thinking you're identified, I think, correctly geographically, as a New York City band. You're
right.
A New York guy. Does that play well for you, or does that put more pressure on you? I mean, is it a certain? I guess what I'm wondering is there a certain expectation of a band out of New York that maybe a band from Des Moines doesn't have?
It's it'll work. It can work for you, and it can work against you. In a sense, New York is actually, being in New York is a very difficult place to have a band because there's so many bands, there's so much competition for people's attention. It's a great place to be creative. It's a great place to make records. It's a hard place to necessarily build up a following. I mean, in a lot of ways, we live in New York, we make our music in New York, but it's very different than being a Des Moines band in the sense that when you're in Des Moines, at first you make it in Des Moines, you become big in Des Moines, and then you move outwards. In New York, it's almost just kind of the opposite. You make your records here, but you push yourselves out there. You really try to build your following elsewhere prior to doing it at home. It's just the nature of the city. And Los Angeles is a lot like that as well. But certainly if you're abroad, if you're from New York, it's a door opener for sure. There's that sense of, if they can make it in New York, they must be good. Mm-hmm. If you're an American rock band, there's an implied assumption of quality or of attitude or vibe that comes along with that. Because we're at the end of the day, rock and roll driven culture, at least our generation is. And so there's a certain mystique that I think you have to live up to as a New York band. For sure.
Well, and so as we kind of wind down, you've mentioned that in 2014 you'll be out playing a lot. So where do you have a sense of where people might be able to start to see you come January?
Yeah, we're trying to figure that out right now because the album just the EP just really started. We started the radio push just a couple of weeks ago. So a lot of it's really independent of what kind of support we get out in the radio world for, and then we'll be picking the dates based on that. So it's probably, we're probably about a month away from locking in dates at this point.
So, as people are exposed to this interview and they hear the music, I guess they should come to the website.
Absolutely. LoveCrushedVelvet.com. We're on SoundCloud. We're on Facebook if you want to just check that. Like button. We don't like to collect likes, but if you like the music, let us know. It's a nice form of a nice way for us to know that that people are digging it and that it's having an impact. We're pretty much everywhere on the internet. You Google Love Crushed Velvet and you'll get a lot more music links than you will links to buy fabric.
All right. And folks, you can find Love Crushed Velvet's new EP, Delusions, at great online music retailers pretty much everywhere, or you can order it right now at a great price right here on MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. If you're watching the video, this doesn't work if you're listening, but if you're watching the video, right below the video, there should be the album cover, and you should be able to click it right now and take you to a link to buy it immediately, either download it or get it sent to you. If you're listening, go to MRMedia.com. Look up Love Crushed Velvet, and you'll find it there. Obviously, we mentioned the website, lovecrushedvelvet.com. Are you guys on Twitter, on Facebook, MySpace?
Sure, we're on everything. We're at Love Velvet on Twitter. We're on MySpace.com/LoveCrushedVelvet. We're on iTunes. We've pretty much blanketed everything we could possibly blanket, so you can't run, but you can't hide.
All right. Well, we'll try to have most of the links on Mr. Media for people to find you very easily. And ALX, thank you so much for joining us, playing the music, and good luck with the album. I really enjoy the music.
Thanks so much, Bob. Pleasure.
Thank you.
Interviews by visiting our main site, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com, or check out the more than 200 video interviews on the Mr. Media Radio site on YouTube. And I'd sure appreciate if you'd show some love for Mr. Media's advertisers, including Stitcher. Apple named Stitcher a top 5 news app of 2011, It's a free mobile app for your smartphone or tablet that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. You can listen whenever you want to more than 5,000 shows, get customized recommendations, and discover what your friends are listening to. My own list of Stitcher favorites is pretty eclectic. I start my day with an hour of MSNBC's Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. Then it's the latest two-minute update from the Onion News Network. After that, I'll listen to WTF with Marc Maron, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, and excerpts from E's Chelsea Lately and The Soup with Joel McHale. Also in regular rotation on my Stitcher playlist, The BS Report with ESPN's Bill Simmons, The TechCrunch Headlines, and The Don Geronimo Show. The latest episodes of each show, whether originating from broadcasts, cable TV, radio syndication, or podcasts, are continuously updated. Stitcher is a free app for your iPhone, iPad, Kindle, Fire, BlackBerry, Droid, and more. And show your support, Mr. Media, by getting, did I mention it's free? The app at stitcher.com/Mr. Media. That's stitcher.com/MR Media. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. We're also supported by Audible. Check out Audible's 30-day trial membership and download the audiobook version of the book everyone's been talking about, 50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James. Sign up for your free trial today at audible.com/radio. Again, audibletrial.com/radio. And finally, if you need a disc jockey for a wedding, bar mitzvah, corporate event, or just a big old party, please consider calling 1-800-DIAL-DJS, the party authority, for all your party entertainment needs. You can call 1-800-DIAL-DJS or go to their website, 1-800-DIAL-DJS.com, and tell them Mr. Media sent you. And thanks for listening.